Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
We're heading into the summer tourism season, so how detrimental an impact is the popularity of short-term letting having on the long-term rental market? Well, recent analysis in the Irish Mirror suggested there were at least 8 times more family homes on holiday rental sites such as Airbnb as were available for long-term renters. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined in the studio by Professor Rory Hearn, who's Assistant Professor of Social Policy at Maynooth University, and I'm also joined by Moira Nivaracu, chairperson of the Irish Self-Catering Federation, and you're both welcome. So Rory, set it out for us first. In your view, how much is the short-term letting sector contributing to the housing crisis?
It's very significant, Claire. The numbers are quite stark. There's different analysis of how much property is actually being dedicated to Airbnb and other forms of short stay accommodation. But the figures from the Mirror pointed to over 8,000 full-time properties, full properties listed on Airbnb. Analysis by, there's a global website called Inside Airbnb that does gathers data as well. They would suggest that it could be closer to 16,000 complete properties listed on Airbnb. The government's own figures, where they've made the proposal around restricting the use of short-term platforms, suggest in the region of 12,000 full-time properties could be brought back in to the rental market. And we need to put this in context, because when you look at it, there are less than just around 1,000 properties on DAFT. So you're talking about, you know, potentially between 8 and 16 times the number of properties in Airbnb. And we know it. We hear from, I hear from people across the country, you know, they say they're trying to find somewhere to rent and all they see is listings on Airbnb.
We have to caveat those numbers a little bit, because DAFT is just one property rental website, and also Airbnb and other websites, people might have properties up there that they're not renting out, but they had up there 12 or 18 months ago and they're lying there dormant.
Yeah, but if we look at the figures from the census from last year, they showed that there was 35,000 rental properties vacant. And what in their analysis, they suggest that a certain proportion of those are Airbnb short-term platforms. So I think that it is accepted that there are at least 10,000 plus homes on Airbnb. And when we see a situation of, and it is important to put the context on it, you know, we've reached 12,000 people homeless, 3,500 children, 15,000 households issued notice to quits in the last 12 months. That's in the region of, you know, 50,000 people in a situation of effective homelessness right now. And we have 12 to 16,000 properties being let out to tourists that could be homes.
Moira, what do you say to that? And really the accusation is that people who are doing this, who are using their properties for short-term letting, are contributing to the housing crisis.
Well, the first thing I have to say, Claire, is that we didn't cause the housing crisis. We didn't cause the extra number of people coming into Ireland. It's great to see Ireland is very popular. But the government has not kept up with the housing needs of the population for many years. And this is the underlying cause. Short-term rental has been here for many generations. I've been in business for over 20 years. And really, my property in West Cork will really do nothing for the housing crisis, which may be taking place in Dublin.
Why do you say that, though? Because people aren't just homeless in Dublin or searching for a rental property, a long-term rental in Dublin.
But we are part of the tourism industry. We're not the solution to the housing crisis, because we have been in business for many years. We have been providing a holiday accommodation, affordable holiday accommodation for people. And we are being seen as the bogeyman or the cause of all the difficulties. If you look at the, and I was delighted to see the figures that came out from the CSO, because they haven't produced any tourism data in the last 2 years. And it's great that we now have data to start working from. The 12,000 figure that Rory's talking about there is figures that the Minister for Housing stated in December could be brought back into the long-term market. I think it is now agreed by everybody in government that there is no way you can bring 12,000 properties back into the long-term market. Airbnb is considered to be kind of the bogeyman of this, but there are actually three online travel agents, or OTAs, in the Irish market, and they make up about 50% of the bookings that take place in Ireland any year, because we have individual owners and we have Irish marketing agencies as well.
All right, well, I want to bring back in Rory on this. People like Moira, who own a property, can do whatever they want with it. Isn't that the bottom line? They don't have an obligation to anybody.
Well, they do, actually. If you're renting out your property as a short-term let for more than 90 days, you have to apply for planning permission if you are in a rent pressure zone. And there are significant parts of the country covered in rent pressure zones. And so there is actually an obligation that you can't just do whatever you want with your property.
But take the example that Maura used there, her own property. She's saying, I'm not in the business of solving the housing crisis, and I can't anyway.
No, she's not. And it is true to say that Airbnb and the short-term use of properties is not the cause of the housing crisis. And I've repeated overly the cause of the housing crisis is government not building social and affordable housing. But we can't get away from the fact that we are in an unprecedented housing emergency. And the use of Airbnb, the use of properties through these platforms is contributing to the housing crisis. Not causing, but is contributing and is a factor. And we're not just seeing this in Ireland. This is globally in cities in particular, where they are high tourist cities like Barcelona, Lisbon, you know, in the States as well. You know, cities have clamped down on Airbnb, like Portugal, like Lisbon, like Barcelona, have restricted their use because their evidence is that they are actually taking homes away from the long-term rental market. So there's an issue of long-term tourist accommodation, and then there's the issue of property that was long-term rental that is now being converted to short-stay accommodation. And the issue with Ireland, I've made this point before, is that Ireland is almost like a big city in a way. Anywhere is a potential tourist market in Ireland, and also anywhere in Ireland right now, as you mentioned, is in a situation of a housing crisis. And so there are people in West Cork who are being evicted from their homes who can't find anywhere else to go to. So we do need to look at this. And the tourism market will not survive. The tourism industry will not survive if the people who are working there don't have homes, and if the communities who live there can't get homes either. It's a balance. You can't let the tourism industry dictate what's happening in terms of the wider economy.
Do you think Moira and people like her then should be forced to rent out their properties on a long-term basis?
No, I think they need to register, and they should be registered, and we should have a national register set up so that we can see how many properties are available as for tourism, what is the housing need in an area, and look at restricting it as we are doing in the rent pressure zones.
But Maura, how would you feel about that?
I agree completely with Rory. We have been calling for a register since 2017. We have been looking for a register and for all short-term rental to be listed on it. A bill went to the Dáil and in December. It was paused by the EU because the EU is bringing in its own European-wide registration system, which will be managed by Fáilte Ireland in Ireland. And I believe the register will solve a lot of the problems that we're talking about. But there is an underlying problem in Ireland, particularly in the rent pressure zones, and that's planning. Because we have been in discussion for over a year and a half with the Department of Housing to get clarification for guidelines for planners and owners of short-term rental in the rent pressure zones so that they can legitimise or legalise their situation. This has not yet been published, though we hope that it will be published in the near future.
But do you think we're at the stage now where perhaps, Maura, there should be some restriction on short-term lettings in rural areas?
No, there should be some restriction in urban areas, but not necessarily in rural areas.
Rory?
I think there has to be across the board. I think you have to look at housing needs. And we know in our rural areas, as I said, there are people being evicted into homelessness because they can't find somewhere to rent. And they know, they point them out, the properties are there, and they might be empty for, you know, three quarters of the year, even more. And then they're used on a limited basis as an Airbnb. And we have to look at property and see, is it being used in the most efficient, effective way to meet the needs of the economy and to meet the needs of society?
But the tourism industry you would say they're under huge pressure because the hotel rooms aren't available in many parts of the country because they're being used to house Ukrainians and other people who have come to this country. So where do our tourists stay?
Well, it is a real issue. And if we look at it, I think it does come back to the lack of housing generally. But the issue of where tourists stay, we won't have a tourist industry, as I say, if the workers haven't anywhere to live, if they don't have anywhere to stay. But also we do have to look at Ireland has changed as a country. In the past, we were very heavily dependent on tourism. We're not the same. We are a much bigger, we do have a bigger population. Rural areas have bigger populations who are living all the year round. And we need to look at, we sort of have allowed ourselves develop with certain areas. Tourism is the dominant considered, you know, economic industry, but it's actually not now. There are, you know, there are own economies in parts, you know, in West Cork and cities and towns. You know, I've been, you know, around Waterford, you know, Galway, Limerick. You go to some small towns, there's populations living there all year round. Mm-hmm. And they say they can't find anywhere to live. So the question is, do we have to look at tourism as a balanced with the rest of the economy and society as well?
And has that changed, that balance between rural and urban? The line's more blurred now.
Absolutely.
Because particularly post-pandemic, people are working from home.
Yeah, they can work from home. They can, but even the population of rural areas is now at the point where it sustains its own economy. So the tourist industry will argue, well, who will go to the cafes? Who will go to the people who live there? And that growing population will cover, you know, the small businesses. And so the nature of our economy is changing as well as our society.
Maura, do you take that point that if you want your local economy to thrive, then people have to have somewhere to live on a long-term basis? And you might just be shooting yourself in the foot.
Oh, I agree completely, because where I am in West Cork, there's an awful lot of second homes which are only occupied for a few weeks of the year. So maybe it would be a very good idea to, first of all, look at all these properties which are second homes, which are sitting there idle for most of the year, unlike self-catering, where we have people coming to stay in the area. And for example, in my property, we had a wedding last weekend. There's another wedding group coming in, and that in turn works with the local economy. So therefore, we all have to work together. But there's a lot of other things that were brought up by the census report, which you haven't focused on, and that is the vacant properties. And there's a huge number of vacant properties all over Ireland. And there are many reasons for these vacancies, but some of those properties were vacant at the last census and the previous census.
So you're making the point that at least your property is being used in some way.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah. Yeah. And they're contributing to the local economy.
I have a message here from a listener, Rory, who wants me to ask you, where do holidaymakers go who can't afford hotels? Also, what about the lost tax take from the tourist sector? And even if all the short-term let properties were taken off that market, do you really think it would make a sudden difference to housing? Quite the opposite.
I think it would make a very significant difference if we restricted the use of the likes of Airbnb and the short stay platforms. As I said, the numbers are there, between 12,000 to 16,000 potential homes brought back in. The work by Dublin City Council is actually to be commended on this. They're one of the few local authorities who really went after short stay owners. And what they say is that they've brought hundreds of units back into the long-term rental market as a result of them enforcing the requirement of owners to seek planning permission. So I do think that there is property here that could be brought back into the long-term rental market if local authorities enforced even the existing rules on planning permission.
All right, Rory Hearn and Moira Nivaraku, thank you both for joining us.